When people say that friendship is hard, they're usually not really talking about friendship. For example, if they say that friendship is hard because they're afraid to introduce themselves to new people, it's not because friendship is hard, it's because courage is hard, right? And if we say that friendship is hard because our calendars don't align, we feel so busy, we don't have time, it's not because friendship is hard, it's because scheduling is difficult, being committed to a priority is a challenge, and being persistent is hard, right? If we say that friendship is hard because we have these acquaintances, but we're not getting close fast enough, that's because being patient is hard, right? And so some of the things that we are kind of dumping on friendship's head, being like, oh, friendship is so hard, is like, actually these other things is hard. Dealing with rejection is hard. Taking risks is hard. Making a request and getting disappointed is hard. Being vulnerable is hard. But guess what? All of those are things that we just need to do in the course of living life.
That's friendship expert Kat Velos, and this is
A Social Life.
A Social Life.
A Social Life with friends.
With friends.
With friends.
With friends.
A Social Life with friends.
I'm Madeline Dorr, and this podcast explores how we can better navigate the joys and the heartbreaks of being a person in the world with other people. In this episode, I'm asking, how can we make new connections and maintain friendships? The previous episode looked at the friendship dip and why it can be so hard to make new friends as we move through different decades. If you haven't already, I recommend you go back and listen to the episode as it delves deeper into how we got here and why, for some of us, our social lives can sometimes feel like a leaky bucket. It's true that building and maintaining friendships takes courage, determination, and patience. But as Kat Velos points out, such things are true of everything in life.
They also apply at work. They also apply at home. They also apply in your romantic relationship. And so that just actually means life is hard and we can't change that. And it's like, okay, let's accept that and then say, what can we do to make life worth living? And friendship is one of the things that makes life worth living. So how can we invest in getting over these challenges or getting more adept at navigating them so that we can experience the beauty, which is the friendship?
What I love about Kat's work is that it flips the script. Instead of spiraling in the narrative that friendship is hard, she asks, what if friendship was easy? Before launching this podcast, I put out a survey with my newsletter readers and asked them, when was the last time you made a friend and how did you make them? What I found most interesting and comforting when collecting the responses is that potential friends can be found everywhere. You can read the full list of 101 ways to make and maintain friendships by signing up to the newsletter at asociallifewithfriends.com, or you can follow the link in the show notes. This list includes real-life examples from the anonymous survey participants, listeners, podcast guests, and my own life. Alongside affirming that new friendships can be made, it might not always be easy, but it's available to us, I also noticed three major themes to making new friends and maintaining existing connections. The first was being in the world. The second was joining or starting things. And the third was deepening existing connections. So as a companion to the 101 ideas for making friends, this episode will delve deeper into those three themes that I found. This way, we've got lots of ideas and inspiration in the long list, but we've also got a framework that's easy to remember and recall. So let's dive in with the first theme, being in the world. There are countless ways to be in the world. We can go to an event, we can go to the same cafe every day, but I also define this theme as being interested in the world. When we broaden what we're interested in, we broaden the points of connection we have with other people. I also think it can be about putting your creative work into the world. If I was to reflect on the new friendships that I've made over the past decade, the vast majority of them have come through my creative projects. I've befriended readers of my work, old and new. I've befriended people that I've interviewed and formed connections with people where we've had a shared mutual admiration. But it doesn't just have to be through creative work. Friendship itself is a creative act, and sometimes all we have to do is put two things together. Here's writer and civic advocate Pete Davis. You might remember him from episode 1 of this podcast, and here he is expanding on another beautiful Wendell Berry quote.
I love this phrase. What you can do is the only thing you can do.
which is take two things that should be together and put them together. Two things, not all things. Two things, not all things. And I just love that because, you know, the world is this dark, rocky hillside. War is spreading. Families dying. The world is in danger. It is totally overwhelming if you say to yourself, I got to solve everything in the world. But if instead you kind of have the metaphor in your head of things have fallen apart and I'm going to do my part to put together two things today or this week or this year or in my life. And anytime friends are over for dinner and you got four people around a table, that's putting together things in a broken world. Anytime you have a club that you're sustaining, that's putting together things. You know, anytime you're taking a little space and making it into a place, anytime you're taking a stranger and making them into a neighbor by being friendly and a little more vulnerable with them and, you know, taking that courageous act of becoming, you know, neighborly with them and trying to form a relationship, you're doing two things. You're putting two things, not all things together. And, you know, that gives me a lot of encouragement, and I hope it can for you too.
This dovetails nicely into the second theme I found when I was compiling the survey responses, and that is to join or start things. In the list, you'll find countless examples of people making friends through joining a book club, playing a sport, starting a parents group. Friendship seems to be a beautiful byproduct of joining things, and Kate Willis agrees it can be an easy way to connect.
It's really the simplest way, and everybody should know it. It should be stapled on every telephone pole and painted on every billboard, is that the shortest way to making a friend is to join a club or a group that is focused on something that you care about and are curious about and want to be committed to, and then become a regular at that club or that group. Whether it's a club about an environmental cause or a creative hobby or a physical exercise, whatever it is that interests you, find that group of people that is already being self-organized or organized by somebody else and become a regular. And when you become a regular, you will begin to get closer and closer to a familiar group of people that you meet with recurringly that have something meaningful in common with you.
But what if you're going along to all the things and you're still finding it hard to connect or make conversation, or even just move past the small talk and into a friendship? I put this question to Kat.
Yeah, conversations are the place where we kind of test each other out and get to see who the other person is. They see who you are. You get a feel for if your vibe is compatible. And if you're curious to get to know more. And one of the downsides of our typical small talk conversations, like, how are you? How's the weather? Where are you from? Is that while they convey, like, there's a script, like, we generally know how to answer these questions. We've generally answered them already 1,000 or a million times before. And so it's not really a place of discovery. Let's say if you and I were meeting at a meetup or something, Madeline, and then I said, oh, hi, my name is Kat, and we do the little pleasantry hello. Oh, did you find the guacamole? Okay, great. There's usually like a little 1.5 second moment of like, oh, is it going to be awkward? What do I say next? Something that I could say to you is, I've been practicing my curiosity skills lately. Can I ask you a question? And you might say, sure, what's your question? And when I've done this with people, when I've said, can I ask you an unusual question, or can I ask you a question I've been playing around with lately? 100% of the time, people say yes. And if they say no, thank them because they've asserted their boundaries, and that is great. But usually people say yes. And when they say yes, you can ask literally anything. And when you ask a question that is surprising or interesting or off the beaten track, people usually light up, and that's when they come out of their shell, and that's when we go into a place of discovery, and that's when things get real. So one wonderful question for this is, you know, tell me about a time in the last year when you felt really alive. Another thing that has worked well, especially when you're just starting to chat with someone, and I've done this in a group setting at a conference, you know, at a lunch table before, was like, tell me about a small task that brings you a tiny joy. And you learn about the interesting things that people do in their morning routine or what they do at the end of the day. Whatever it is, it's like a small task that it just makes you happy, you know? Another one that's really great, particularly as you're getting to know people more. And if you're into nature, there's so many great nature questions. You can ask, like, what are some of your favorite places on Earth? Or what is a place that you have been to on this planet that you revisit in your mind frequently? And often you'll get a really great story out of that. So questions that elicit a storytelling are usually great. Questions that elicit personal reflection are great. And questions that elicit imagination are great. on my website, I have a whole bunch of different question card packs for this that people can download based on those categories. There's reflection questions and learning questions and relationship questions and identity questions and ways that you can use this, whether it's in the classroom, in your workplace, at a party, or with your best friend, or with your new acquaintance that you're getting coffee with. And when you bring these new questions, you often go new places.
I love that new questions can bring us to new places, ultimately helping us to form new relationships. Interestingly, the third and final theme that I spotted when compiling this list is that much of making and maintaining friendships is about deepening existing connections. Many of the connections that are ripe for deepening are often overlooked, such as colleagues, neighbours, or even friends from our past or loose ties. Part of this is because we put so much emphasis on making new friendships. But here's psychologist Chris Cheers on the importance of nurturing existing friendships.
Often the journey of actually improving the quality of our relationships isn't about getting new ones. You know, I think we sometimes think the cure for loneliness is to just make new friends, you know, to just find more people to add to the mix. But the other way to think about it is, how can we actually improve the quality of the relationships you already have? Because that will also increase the quality of the relationships in your life. And it kind of argue against this myth that, you know, once a relationship is broken or there's a challenge or a conflict, that it means that the best thing to do is to leave that relationship and move on. Obviously, that's sometimes what has to happen. But I think a lot of the time there is space to actually talk through conflicts, to come together after conflict, and to actually make effort on both sides to actually improve the quality of your existing relationships. And that can go a long way to, you know, to generally making you feel less alone, rather than just this idea that you need to find new ones.
The thing about making and maintaining friendships is that it's important to cultivate a variety of types of friends. Not everyone has to be our best friend, and sometimes company can be more important than chemistry. Here's writer Anne Helen Peterson on why we also need loose ties.
You gotta have those loose ties. The loose ties are what make the whole, like, the safety net, right? Like, a safety net can't just have four squares. It has to have like 100. And so that interconnectivity, even if the square is, you know, all the way across the net, they're still part of that infrastructure that holds us up. And how do you do that? You show up for other people. You help make other organizations work. Like, something that I do is I am one of like six people who is in charge of part of the library garden. So I go and I weed it. It's a nice thing because I like seeing the nice yard in front of the library, but it's like just a little thing that helps make the library what it is. And the library itself is a node in this larger safety net, both because they provide books and information, but also it's a place where people can go if their power goes out. Like, they have a generator, you know, there's all these different things that are really wonderful about it. And so how are you giving, even in ways that aren't immediately apparent? Like, that's pretty awesome.
One of the most delightful examples I've heard of recently of deepening existing connections comes from arts and culture worker Mariam Ella Asilia, who has been keen to get to know her neighbours and helped organise a bin alley biennale. Twice a year, the alley behind a row of houses is transformed into a neighbourhood party. Here's Mariam sharing more.
We decided to have a party behind our alleyway, clear out the bins, clean everything up. And it was a pun because there were a lot of artists in our area, and biennales were just this like funny thing. We're like, oh, there's another biennale somewhere in Europe, or there's another biennale in Asia, and why don't we have biennale here? And it also rhymed. So yeah, so we moved out all the recycling bins and garbage bins, and we just laid down the AstroTurf, hung a mirror ball, had a friend that had all these video projections. We opened up our home that I shared with my husband Mason, and we had readings and food sessions, feeding sessions, and we were able to actually create this communion with our neighbors, and we got to meet so many neighbors in one go. And we basically put that all together through WhatsApp. We added people across the neighborhood, and it became this really fun, kind of chaotic WhatsApp group, because we were trying to figure out who would do the DJ sets, like who was going to bring the party lights, who's going to bring a bunch of glasses, who has extra chairs, who has tables from their studio that they can bring down. So it basically was this collective effort to bring this together.
Whether it's being in the world, joining things, or deepening existing friendships and connections, the thread I found within all of these themes is that we have to be courageous, patient, and determined, and be the one to create the types of friendships that we want, the type of neighborhood that we want, the type of event or club that we want. As Pete Davis puts it, to have a friend, we need to be a friend.
The way you make friends is you have to go out there and act as a friend to people. And you know, you have to believe that this friendship is happening. It will naturally grab you, and the quality of it being alive and allowed to grow is the thing you love about friendship much more than the initial compatibility. The people that end up being your closest friends are the people that you have the deepest, you know, cultivation of connection with, not necessarily the people that the algorithm would match you with.
Thanks for listening to A Social Life with Friends. If you'd like a summary of these themes, as well as that list of 101 ways to make and maintain friendships, you can find it all at asociallifewithfriends.com. You can also support this podcast and newsletter directly by becoming a paid subscriber. I'd personally love to make more episodes more frequently, but to do so, I need more support. So there are monthly subscriptions available, as well as bonus things for you to enjoy. Of course, there's many other ways to show your support for my work in this podcast. You can leave a positive review, share it with a friend, and follow the podcast wherever you like to listen so you don't miss upcoming episodes. We've spoken about how making and maintaining friendships can be easy, but perhaps what we really mean is that it can be simple. So I'd like to leave you with a quote from Henry David Thoreau. As he said, "The most I can do for my friend is simply be his friend."